Okay, this week's is Parshas Naso, and as many of us know, the Parshas Naso is the makor given in the Torah for the mitzvah of women covering their hair. It says in the Parsha of Sota, it says, "V'hemid ha-kohen es ha-yishah l'fnei Hashem u'farah sosh ha-yishah," that the woman's hair is uncovered in the process of the Sota ceremony. And Rashi, based on the Gemara and the Ksuvas there in Ayin Bey, says that from the fact that the Torah says the hair should be uncovered, implies that regularly the hair is covered. And the Mishnah explains that this is a violation of Das Yehudis. There's two things, there's Das Yehudis and there's Das Moshe. Das Moshe is what's Midoraisa, and Das Yehudis is what is the custom of women, depending on that community. So the Mishnah says not covering hair is a violation of Das Yehudis. So the Gemara immediately jumps in and says, what do you mean it's Das Yehudis? It's Das Moshe. We have a pasuk here in the Torah. We have a drasha that says this is a Dindoraisa. So the Gemara comes back and explains, you're right, it is a Dindo Reis, it is Das Moshe, and the Gemara proceeds to have other discussions as well. The Meiri says that from the source, he thinks that this is a Dindo Reis, and this is the halacha cited by the Shulchan Aruch and Ezer in Simen Chaf Aleph. And then the Beit Shmuel has a discussion on the side of the Shulchan Aruch, perhaps even an unmarried woman has to cover hair as well. This is what the Rama writes, that an unmarried woman should cover hair. And the Beit Shmuel explains that that is talking about a woman who is not a basula, a woman who has not consummated her marriage yet, but the din is that if a divorcee or a widow would have to cover her hair according to the Ramah. So Rav Moshe has a tshuva in Eben Ezer and Chelek Alf and Siman Zayin, and he has another tshuva in Eben Ezer, Chelek Dal and Siman Lama Beis. One is about a woman who works in an office. I don't know, nobody can explain what this rule is, but in the office you weren't allowed to cover your hair. I don't exactly know how that works exactly. I don't know why that was a rule, and I don't know, maybe she works in a food factory, I'm not sure what it was, but her hair wasn't allowed to be covered. So she wants to know, do I have to give up this job? She was a divorcee, and do I have to give up this job, you know, if they're going to tell me that I can't cover my hair? But the halacha is I have to cover my hair. So Rav Moshe says that the halacha for a divorcee or a widow to cover the hair is a din derabbanan, and we don't have to be machmir in this case for the sake of parnasa, that the woman has to give up a job in order to cover her hair. And the same question is asked about a woman who wanted to date after she was married beforehand, and of course she didn't want to cover her hair because she thought this was going to be off-putting to a prospective date. And Rav Moshe said again, is there, if you think that it's an issue for Shidduchim, then you don't have to cover your hair. It's just funny, Rav Moshe then says that, Rav Moshe then writes, he just says, good advice is that when you're dating, and let's say you're dating for a second marriage, you shouldn't, like, lie in order to, you know, get a catch. You should, you know, be honest. Like, if you're going to trick the guy for the first 4 days and pretend you're not married, and then after the fourth date you're going to tell him. So Moshe says, it's probably not a good idea. You probably want to be upfront about those things, you know, when you're dating. So that is the basic...
Before those resumes.
So that's the basic overview of the halacha at Sidon Shulchan Aruch. We're not going to discuss the whole history and all the other Mar Makomis about covering hair and things like that. We're going to take for granted the halacha in Shulchan Aruch as it is. So the question that is raised is, when does a kala, or essentially when is a woman first responsible to fill the mitzvah of covering her hair? Now, we're not the first people to discuss this tonight. A lot of the Mar Makomos on the Otzer HaPoskim, the massive collection of Mar Makomos on the laws of Eben Ezer, they discuss a lot of this as well. There was different articles in different Torah journals. So let's jump in. First thing we need to know about the discussion is the difference between Erusin and Nisuin. Erusin / Kedushin, which is like half marriage, the first process of marriage. That's when the man gives something to the woman, she accepts it, and she is Mekadesh. She becomes, they become Usher to each other, and she's Usher to everybody else in the world as well. That's one step. And in the olden days in the Gemara, they would separate this 6 months, a year apart, and you'd have Kedushin first, and she would go to her father's house, and then after some time they would come together and engage in Nisuin, which is the final mitzvah, which is Chuppah, the Shefa Brachas, things like that. There's three different shittas in the Rishonim. How do you fulfill a Nisuin? So we, our Ashkenazim, our Machmer for all three right there at the wedding. We have the chuppah, we have the bedekin, and we have the yichud room. That's according to all three opinions. We're machmer, as the Beis Shmuel explains, and that's the second part of the marriage. So let's assume that for right now, there's two parts to the marriage, and we should just realize that nowadays we don't separate anymore. Two reasons are given by the Rishonim why we don't do this anymore. One is because people were making mistakes, and the boy and the girl thought that they were married after they only had kedushin, and they were behaving as husband and wife before the chuppah, and that was leading to big problems. So they said, let's maybe not have the separation. Also, it was also to save money, because the families had to make essentially two chasanas, two wedding celebrations for both events. And in order to save money as well, they combined the two events together.
What was the chuppah mean to have a separation in the first place?
It was just the way, I don't know, it was just the way it was set up. I guess it didn't occur to anybody to put it together. So there's two things. There's Arison and Nisuin, and they kind of just left it that way.
Arison was sort of like getting engaged today. You get
Correct.
Engaged today and you wait a few months to get started.
It just had a much bigger impact.
Except
it was much more.
Hated the word engagement. Someone that's in there, Rusty, the modern Hebrew.
Yeah.
They give a whole thing that Arison is nothing to today's engagement. It's real marriage. It's
Correct. It leads people to For sure, 100%. So let's jump into the question. The first person to really bring the Mar Makomas together is the Stei Chemed in his Mareches Dalet and Das Yehudis and Os Aleph. So he cites the Chuvas of the Mahari HaLevi in Simites. That is the brother of the Taz. Has a Sfarim of Chuvos. He was also, I think, the brother of the Taz is actually the Rebbe of the Taz as well. This is his brother and his Rebbe. So in his Chuvos, he says that once Arison or Kedushin occurs, so then the Kala has to cover her hair. That's what he says. Once there is Kedushin, the Kala must cover her hair. And he, within this discussion, he brings a number of proofs. He says that the Mishnah in Ksuvah Tesvav seems to say differently. The Mishnah says, Ha'ish Yishinis Armalo Niskarsha, a woman who is divorced or widowed, he omeris Besula, and she says that at a certain, before I was married to this person, I was a Besula virgin, Nasasani, Vuhu Omer Lo, and he says, no, not true. When we married, you were already married beforehand. And what's the practical difference? How much money she gets in the Ksuba. So the husband and wife are having an argument how much money they should get in the process of divorce. An age-old issue, right? So Ella, Almane Nisasicha, you married me when you were an Alman, and therefore you don't get as much money in the divorce proceedings. So the Mishnah says, Yesh Edim Shiyatsas Behinuma. If there are witnesses that say that she went out Behinuma, Varosha Parua, Ksuvasa Masayim, that she was wearing some sort of bridal crown, some sort of thing on her head, but Rosha Parua, and her hair was uncovered, this item that went on her head didn't cover her hair completely. So if you have witnesses that can testify that the wedding, she was dressed in this way, then she should get Masayim, she should get 200, meaning she would be considered a Basula, and it would mean that she was not married before. That's what the Mishnah says. So the Mishnah says that a sign of leaving the chuppah is your hair being uncovered. That's what it seems to say. Meaning being at the chuppah means that your hair is not covered. So Rashi explains that the minhag was that at the chuppah the hair was on her shoulders, meaning it was kind of covered somewhat. So we see from Rashi that someone who has Arison / Kedushin, that first step by the chuppah, doesn't need to have her hair covered. So what are we supposed to do? That seems to be a proof against the Mari HaLevi, that by the chuppah, her hair wasn't covered. So he says that the din, that an arusa should have her hair covered, but they made an exception for the chuppah. Meaning really, mikir adin, someone who's engaged, someone who has arison / kedushin, should have her hair covered, but they made an exception just for that moment of the chuppah. And because she wanted to look nice, whatever it was, there was some reason they gave her a loophole at that moment not to follow the salacha. And he supports this with the tshuva of the Rashba. The Rashba says that a woman who is who's considered overis hadas, how do you know if a woman is acting inappropriately, that are grounds for divorce? So the Rashba says that if a woman does something once in a while, it's not considered a terrible violation. If the woman acts in a way that's not appropriate, you know, here and there, that's not considered enough to be a regular habitual practice, that would be grounds for divorce. So we see from the Rashba that we make exceptions to the rule once in a while. And that's proof one for the Mari Levi. So this proof is very, very strange. Because where in halacha do we ever find that we follow the halacha 99% of the time, but for you I'll make an exception? It's a very strange chiddush of the Mari Levi. It's true, someone who has kedushin has to have her hair covered, but by the chuppah, we don't have to follow this halacha. Where else do we find such an idea? You have to keep kosher all the time, except, you know, when you're over here. It's a very strange proof.
Purim makes some exceptions.
For Simchas Purim. Correct, I hear. Perhaps that would be a support of the Mari Levi. I hear. So this is one critique of the Mari Levi's chiddush, that she has to cover her all the time, except by the chuppah. And that's how you're going to get out of the problem. The Mishnah in Ksubis is against you. And the way you're going to get out of it is by saying that, no, that's not really, it's talking about something else. And the something else is that she doesn't have to keep halacha by her chuppah. That's critique number one. Number two, the Ma'ari Levi brings another support from the Mishnah in Sota that says that an arusa doesn't drink me sota. A woman who has kedushin is not supposed to drink the sota water because the pasuk says she only drinks if she is tachas isheich, married to her husband 100%. And this is not tachas isheich because she's living by her father's house. And that's the halacha by the woman who has kedushin. However, why does the Mishnah just say that an arusa doesn't drink the mei sota? Why? Because her hair is never covered. And because her hair is never covered, you can't fulfill the mitzvah of parua, of uncovering her hair. So says the Ma'ari Levi, from the fact that the Gemara doesn't use that proof to say why a woman who has kedushin doesn't drink the mei sota, must mean that a woman who has kedushin must have her hair covered. There's another critique of that as well, because upara sota isha doesn't only mean you have to uncover the hair. The Gemara also says it means you have to mess up the hair. You have to make the hair not nice. So we disheveled. So the Masas Moshe therefore explains, you can also fulfill the pasuk if the woman doesn't cover her hair. The only way to fulfill upara sota isha is not uncovering it, but you can also have her hair messed up, and therefore it's not a proof anyway whether she was engaged or not and whether her hair was covered. Yeah. Another discussion. Pinky has what to say about it. But another discussion. Correct. Next issue. The Beis Meir and the Chavos Yair in Simen Kuf Tzadi Vav agree that a woman who has Kedushin has to have her hair covered. The Chavos Yair was asked a very interesting question. And in the course of that question, he discusses our question. His question is the following. Reuven had a sister who was a cleaning lady for Levi. And the sister was intelligent, she was very beautiful, very capable, and she was eligible to marry. But people didn't want to pay the money, the dowry, to marry the family, the dowry to marry her. The family was asking for, you know, a lot of money for the daughter to get married, and nobody wanted to pay them the price to marry Reuven's sister. So Levi, her employer, who she worked for, has no children, but his wife was very sick for a very long time. And the doctors have given up hope that the wife of Levi was going to continue to live and get better. So Levi comes with a plan. Levi goes to Reuven and says, don't rush to marry off your sister so quickly. He says, I have an idea. He says, when my wife dies, I'm happy to marry my cleaning lady, your sister, and that we'll have a deal, and I'm happy to pay the amount.
She wasn't Spanish.
What?
She wasn't Spanish.
No, not according to what I know. So he doesn't say that in the Tshuva. So he also promises a lot of money, and Reuven doesn't believe Levi. He says, come on, what? My sister's going to wait around, and then you're going to marry her? Come on, this is not a good shidduch for anyone. So Levi goes to the rabbi and says, what can we do? I want to marry this young lady. And the rabbi tells him to make kedushin with Levi's sister on condition that it should be chal when the wife dies. That's what the rabbi says. The rabbi says, you're going to marry Almanas, that when the wife dies, the Kedushin is going to be valid. It'll happen retroactively. So the Chavos Yair then...
Could she marry in the meantime?
What?
Could she marry now?
The halacha would be that she's not allowed to.
So,
So the Chavos Yair gets this question. They want to know...
Even though she's not married now.
What?
Even though she's not married
Correct.
Now.
Correct. So the Chavos Yair wants to know, they ask the Chavos Yair, is this a good idea? So he has a lot to say about this, but he says that this on its own is not a good kedushin. It's not a good kedushin because no kedushin is good if the husband can reverse it, can be chozer from it. You can't, if the husband at a certain point can pull back and stop the kedushin any time from taking effect, it's never a good kedushin. So he says, really what you should do is that Levi has to say that the kedushin will be chal me'achshav, now, and when the wife will die. And retroactively, they'll be married now when the wife dies. They'll go back in time. Meaning right now you're not going to be married, but when the wife dies, retroactively they'll go back, you know, to however many months before when we did this, and that's how it's going to work. Because then you can't be chozer anymore, and the kedushin is going to be chal at that time. So then he's asked the following question. He says, well, this is going to violate the issue of Cherem Darbeinu Gershom, because you can't marry two wives. He's going to be married to his dying wife, and he's going to be married to this the cleaning lady. So in addition, he says, they're going to want to keep this deal quiet as well, right? Levi knows that this is a pretty sketchy thing, and they're going to want to keep this little arrangement very quiet. So he says, what's going to happen? If she becomes an Arusa now, if she has Kedushin with Levi, then she's going to have to start doing what? Covering her hair. And how is she going to keep it quiet? She's going to walk around town with her hair covered in a sheitel, and everyone's wondering what's going on, who's she married to? And she's not going to talk about it? So the Chavisari says that why is this supposedly single girl walking around town? So we see from the Chavisari that in Arusa, someone who has Kedushin has to cover her hair. That's the second Mari Makom. And then he concludes that the whole thing doesn't sound right, and they should probably just forget the entire plan because it's just not a good idea. But within that discussion, we see that someone who has Kedushin has to cover her hair. These are the two major poskim who weigh on this issue. Comes the Shvus Yaakov in Chelek Aleph and Siman Kuf Gimel, Rav Reisher. So he asks about a woman who was Rachman Litzlan raped. And now that she's a Ba'ula, that she had relations, so she has to cover her hair. So he says that a woman doesn't have to cover her hair from Erisin. He disagrees. He says it has nothing to do with Erisin, has nothing to do with being engaged. And he cites the Mishnah in Ksuvos. The Mishnah in Ksuvos clearly says what? That when she left her chuppah, her hair was not covered. That's clearly what the Mishnah says. So why isn't the woman claim in that case that she was an almana mina erisin? Why, and her hair was covered because an arusa has to cover her hair? Meaning, how come the woman doesn't say back to her husband and says, oh, I know for sure your hair was covered. So the woman will say what to the husband so she can get her money. What will she say? Oh, I was married to you after I married somebody else. I'm an almana mina erisin. I was married to somebody else and I never consummated the marriage with that first husband. And therefore, that's why I was covering the hair. The fact that she doesn't claim this shows that an arusa doesn't cover hair. Someone who has Kedushin doesn't cover hair. And the Be'er Heitiv and Eben Ezra cites the Shvus Yaakov that a woman who wasn't Nevela, that there was no relations, doesn't have to cover her hair. There's no halacha to cover her hair. And the Chuvus Rabbi Kiva Eger brings all of this together. In Ma'adur Tinyana, in Siman Ayin Tes. And Rabbi Kiva Eger quotes very, very quickly everything we just said, like in two lines. And then he says, you can't rely on the Shvus Yaakov. He says it's not a reliable opinion, and instead we're dealing with the Dindo Raisa of covering hair. You have to follow the Chavos Yar and the Ma'ari Halevi, and the Mishnah Berurah as well in Siman Ayin Hei Nor Achayim says that an Arusa must cover hair. A woman who has Kedushin has to cover hair. Now, everything we said until now is very nice when they had a separation between Kedushin and Nisuin. Right? That made sense over then. He says, but nowadays when we put our Erisin and our Nisuin together, and Ashkenazim have Yichud right after the Chuppah. We kind of wrap everything up very quickly. Sephardim have Yichud later at home. But Ashkenazim have Yichud all together at once after the Chuppah. So what are we going to say in this case? What would the poskim say nowadays where we not only have Erisin, but we also have Nisuin? And really, she's 100% married. So he says, I understand you can be Mekel, you know, by the Shvus Yaakov over there. That was when it was separate. But even the Shvus Yaakov is not relevant, might not, well, it would still be relevant because of Bia, but he says, what would we say nowadays when we do everything together? So what do the contemporary poskim have to say in this regard? So just one thing about the Yichud Rum, the Tshuvas HaNagos, Rav Shurmbach and Chelek Hei, has a very strange defense of why even the Yichud Rum would not make a woman have to cover her hair. He says that nowadays the Yichud Rum is not a real Yichud Rum. Because everybody knows that they're not having relations in the yichud room at the hall. And there's simply a quiet place for the chasen and kala to have something to eat, you know, to get ready for the pictures and the dancing. And it's not a real thing. It's a very big chiddush. I don't know anyone else who says that. We treat the yichud room as a yichud room. And it has all the halachos. We have the eidim have to wait a certain amount of time. So I'm not sure who else agrees with Schirmbach, but that's one defense he has, that perhaps it's not 100% Nisuin, even by the chuppah for Ashkenazim. Many, many poskim say that after the chuppah, meaning the yichud room, the kala must cover her hair. According to them, the above discussion clearly shows what? That after the chuppah, the hair has to be covered. That's what's the question? All the Marma Komos we saw seem to indicate that by the chuppah, you have to cover your hair. This is the opinion of Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky and Amos Yaakov. Even though I saw Rabbi Belsky say that not all of Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky's children practice that by their weddings, so I don't know what to do with that. But Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky said in theory she should have her hair covered after the chuppah. Rosh Shlomo Zalman Arbach in the Shalmei Simcha the Rabbi Yamin Zilber in the Oz Nidbaru, Rabbi Nissen Karelitz in the Chut Shani on Shabbos, Chelik Gimel, Rabbi Sternbach in the Chelik Dal and Shilas HaNagos, the Av Basin of Manchester, Rabbi Gabriel Krauss in a Torah journal in Kol HaTorah. So they all say that the halacha seems to be clearly, she's married. She's married, she's married, she's married. So her hair should have to be covered. What really is there to discuss? So Yalka Yosef, Ravad Yosef's children, they cite all the different shulas. Ravad Yosef discusses this in Soveya Smachos and Perikid Gimel. And Ravad Yosef said, he says, for Sfardim, I get it. We have a kula perhaps, because there's no Nisuin until they get home. By Ashkenazim, he says, what are you guys doing? He says, you're married right after the Yichurim, according to everyone. Why is she not covering her hair? He says, I don't understand why people would not cover their hair.
So it, in Sfardim, you mean, after the wedding is over, they go home and they have Yichud?
Yeah.
I mean, that's there are Edom who stay there also?
I don't know what they do exactly. I'm not sure. But there's no Yichurim by the Sfardim.
Okay.
They rely on when they go home. Okay. So, what is the defense of Minhag for many people? Certainly in America, in Eretz Yisrael, I'm not sure, but in America, very often, if you're not by the Hasidim, I think by Yeshivas Chafetz Chaim, they're very makbid that the Kala covers her hair before the Chuppah. But, you know, in America,
before
many people...
What? Before the Chuppah?
Before the Chuppah. She walks down to the Chuppah with the Sheitel.
Really?
Yeah. So, by many places, they are makbid, but in many places in America, we're not. That the Kala doesn't cover her hair, either before the Chuppah, after the Yichurim. So, what's the defense? So, in line with the above Shlis Yaakov, comes Rav Moshe Feinstein. Now, this is not a Negros Moshe, but everybody quotes this Mipia Shmua, and we actually have, very recently, a handwritten testimony to this from Moshe himself. In the Kovetz HaMaor, the Torah journal that's published here in America, in Kislev Tufshin Ayin Zion, last year, so they printed a letter, a tshuva from Rav Moshe, in which he discusses this. Ksavyan for Moshe Feinstein. And Moshe says, Hineni bazeh la'asher b'ksav ba'achar she'atzad tzorech la'rasol la'acherim. You wanted to show other people, so I'm writing this for you, that, you know, Rav Mordechai Tanler wanted to say in my name, that it's a chiv on the woman, l'chasos, rosha achar nisei schal, achar laila rishona. It's only after the next morning. She'aschal le'ashem b'ula, because she had relations. V'lo miyad achar chuppah v'yichud. It's not after the chuppah. It's not after yichurim. As a dying, he becheskas besula, because the din is covering your hair as a din and being a besula versus not being a besula. And this is where Moshe has said, and it's quoted in many places as well, the Mesoras Moshe, the Chelek Beis as well, other sources citing the Kuntra slave Itza, from the name of Tuvi Goldstein citing Moshe Feinstein. So this is a reliable, we have it in writing, even though Moshe wrote this in the last year of his life. And we have it from multiple people saying as well that Moshe said that not by the wedding, only the next morning does she have to cover her hair. He says, the woman who is not Rusa, then leaves the chuppah as Nesua, has her hair uncovered, he says. And the Gzeiras HaKasav regarding covering hair depends on Be'ulas of having relations, and only Nesua can have a Chalos Be'ula. And this is found as well in the Or L'Yisrael, the Torah journal, Chelek Mem Dalad. And also, together with Moshe Feinstein, is the Chsam Sofer. The Chsam Sofer in Yoredei and Simen Kuf Sadi Hey is discussing the Minhag Hungry of women shaving their heads for their sheitels, for their hair. So he defends the Minhag. He says it's based on the Zohar and Parshas Naso. And he says this is the Minhag Hungry for a long time. This is what should be done. But he says, when do they shave their heads? So the Chsam Sofer says they shave it the next morning. What meaning what? The only chiv to begin covering their hair is the next morning, not before the wedding. The Chsam Sofer is in the same camp as Rav Moshe as well in regards to this. So these are the major poskim who defend it. I once heard a number of years ago in a shir from Rav Yitzchak Berkowitz. Rav Yitzchak Berkowitz is the Rav of Sanhedria in Yerushalayim, a well-respected posek in Eretz Yisrael. So he explains that, the Mishnah in Ksuvis says, Sheyatzas behinuma varosha parua. The Mishnah says that she comes from the chuppah and her hair is uncovered. And he went in a different direction. It has nothing to do with consummating the marriage, he says. It's a second reason why the kala does not cover her hair. He says that the tzura of a kala, the image of being a kala, the chalos, the shame of being a kala, is rosha parua. The halacha by there's four stages, he says. There's erusin, there's nesuin, and then there's having relations afterwards. But in between those two events, there's a status of kala. And a kala doesn't have to cover her hair, he says. When she changes to go home, he says, then after the wedding's over, she's not a kal anymore technically, and then she should cover her hair. So I thought that was always an interesting approach. I didn't find anybody to back it up. And then I saw recently two shitas to back up this this approach.
They seem very similar to the other one about that, since we know they can't, even though they aren't saying, since we know in the quote yichud, they still haven't had relations.
Yeah.
So it seems that the ability to do, even they're accepting for things of chuppah, it seems for this purpose, they're saying that you have to have had the ability to have gone, you know, had relations to.
Yeah. In order to do it.
It seems similar to Rav Sternbach's
thing.
The same spirit. I'm not saying it's...
I hear it's the same spirit. That I hear.
I'm not saying the same thing, but
yeah,
the same.
No, for sure. For sure. So comes Rav Yehuda Henkin in the Tshuvas B'nai Badim in Chela Gimel in Simen Chav Gimel. And he says that a wedding hall, listen to this Kiddush, a wedding hall is like a Rishus HaYachid for a Chasen and Kala. They're not in public, he says. He says it's like their private area when you're in the wedding hall. And it doesn't have the public nature of being bashuk. He says, the Gemara in Ksuvos talks about being bashuk. She should never have hair covered in the marketplace. He says, this is like a private area. It's like the Chasen and Kala's private area. And therefore, it doesn't have the din de oraisa of having to cover her hair. And he says, as such, the Kala doesn't have the Das Moshe requirements to have her hair covered. And she's a Das Yehudis. And since this is a status in Das Yehudis of the meaning of women is not to have her hair covered by her wedding. And therefore that fits in with Das Yehudis, he says. He says the Kala, in the way she presents herself, her dress, you know, her veil, something on top of her head, something like this. So he says this is a Das Yehudis halacha, a shame Kala, like we said before. And he's in line with this reasoning as well. Now, what the nafka meaning would be, the second she leaves the wedding hall, she has to cover her hair. She can't, you know, go somewhere else. But they're uncovered. The second she leaves the wedding hall, she has to cover her. That is support number one in the same camp as Rabbi Yitzchak Berkowitz. The second is something I heard from Rabbi Willig. Rabbi Willig explains that there's a din da oraisa to cover her hair, but this mida oraisa is sufficient because it's a kalasa. A kalasa was this hair covering, this hinuma, this type of hair covering that didn't cover it all the way. And the Rabbanan who say to cover all the hair weren't being machma for a kala. Say, mida oraisa, a woman has to cover her hair a certain amount. Mida rabbanan, they said you have to cover more of the hair. So since Chazal, the rabbanan came and said you have to cover more, they weren't machmer for a kala. And he says, therefore, it's usur for the kala to wear nothing on her head, says Rabbi Willig. He says, the kala can't wear nothing, she has to wear something. As long as there's something on her head, it's fine because it's within the oraisa of having the hinuma, this type of hair covering. And Rabbi Willig said he didn't agree with the reasoning having anything to do with bia or relations or things like that as well. Rav Shechter is in line with Rav Moshe. Rav Shechter thinks that Rav Moshe's reasoning is correct in that regard. So Lamaisa, the minag in our community, I would say, is that the kala doesn't completely cover her hair, but she keeps something on her head during the chuppah, and this is the defense. So just to summarize from the beginning, according to the brother of the Taz, and the Chavos Yair, and Rav Kiva Eger, of course she should have to cover her hair. She's married, what's the question? Comes from Moshe Feinstein, says no, it's a halacha in consummating the marriage, and being a ba'ula. Comes the other poskim, who say that no, it has to do with a special status of being a kala, and her unique role between after the wedding, and before she leaves the wedding hall, and that's a leading cedar line, having something on her head. At the end of the day, Rosh Hashanah Zalman Arbach is quoted in the Sefer Isha you saw in Hilchas Tefillah in Perek Nun Hey, that Rosh Hashanah Zalman said that the Mekilim have what to rely on. He said certainly he felt it was proper to be Machmer, and that seems to be the minhag in his community in Eretz Yisrael and Yerushalayim. But he said the Mekilim have what to rely on. He said it should never lead to any fighting by the chuppah, that the Kala wants to do this and the mother wants to do this. And he says whoever wants to be Mekil has what to rely on, and it should not lead to any issues by the chuppah. And this would seem to defend the Minhag Yisrael in many places.
The